are listening to the Sermon Podcast from Real Life on the Palouse, reaching the world for Jesus, one person at a time.
As we dive into our Advent series here, quick inside joke. Derek made a funny inside joke about me. So here, check this out. So we go down to help out with one of the churches he was at in Salt Lake City, and I was down there helping facilitate something. And the area down there is called the Wasatch Front. That's the name of the mountain range in the area down there. And so I'm praying with like these 25 pastors that are there, and I'm praying to close this thing out. And I was like, Lord, and just help these people on the Sasquatch front. You guys are much meaner. None of them laughed at me. They just let me sit in that. And as I was driving in the next day, I was like, did I say Sasquatch front? And he's like, you sure did. So I like to tell jokes on myself. Anyway, that was our inside joke. I hate being on the outside of an inside joke, you know what I mean? So this is week three of our Advent series. Adam kicked us off as we worship our way towards this anticipation of Jesus' birth. And he kicked us off with helping us really understand a word that the Magi used as they saw Jesus and approached him. They shaka, they bowed down. And we talked more about that word, which means to be fully surrendered, to prostrate yourself to this God of the Bible, to fully surrender all aspects of who you are to them, or to him. And then last week I talked about about what does it look like to worship in the waiting, worship when you don't have the answers, worshiping when it doesn't work out the way that you want to. And then we looked at Mary's powerful example of worshiping in the waiting, believing God for his promises, believing what he was going to do and being okay with that. And many of you have been worshiping in the waiting. And this week, as we talk about this third week, is commonly talked about the week of joy. And this is not just like seasonal joy. This is not like Chevy Chase, let's do the lights and like see the lights go up and you have that joy because your lights finally went up. It's not like the joy of, hey, my kids didn't punch each other on the way to church. That was great. The kind of joy that I'm talking about today and we think about with the text is that deep joy that comes from being open to the things of Christ. Think about joy, the idea of joy, a deep, lasting, delightful and strength and strong moment in your life, different from like fleeting happiness. How many people know the difference between happiness and joy? Like happiness, you're like, you got your gift, right? You have this thing that you're so excited about, and like the kids, the toys that you bought them like a year ago, they don't even know what they are. Like they're broken already. But I was happy, but joy, it's something that comes from within. Joy comes from walking with the Prince of Peace, from acknowledging this wonderful counselor, from submitting, from shekinah to this mighty God. It's not something that's just manufactured. It happens when something opens in your life, your heart or your home. A space opens for joy to come in. And that leads us to our word for today in the beautiful Hebrew language, Patach. Say Patach. 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 And it means to open, to loosen, to make room, to set free. And real soul-level joy, godly joy, arrives at the moment that something that maybe was closed off into your life is now open. For those of you that have accepted the Lord and you know the Lord and you accepted him and you had a moment in your life where like, do you remember, did you have joy after that? Was there something like, you know what? Like, it's going to be okay. Like, it's going to be difficult, but I am going to be here eternally. I have this joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Hey! Where? Down in my heart. Where? Yeah. So as you think about, as we've been building on these past 2 weeks, we have this shaka, this total surrender, this tauda, this thanksgiving before the miracle, and this patak of this opening. And for me, and for maybe some of you in here, it's an opportunity to feel some tension in our lives. Because when we stay closed off to God, we are not fully surrendered. We're not fully Shekinah, are we? How could we effectively worship God when we come together with closed hearts? Are you prepared to receive what God has for you today? Did you prepare yourself this morning when you came in? Were you wondering what he was going to say to you as you were worshiping him in music, in song? Are you wondering if there is a nugget, me too, I'm wondering this, if there's a nugget from today's message that is specifically for you? Are you open to it? Do you know that you can worship and still stay closed off to God? You can be in here and be like, bah, 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 like saying the words, but still have your heart closed. And sometimes I got to worship my way into an open heart. Like, I got to have the pieces start falling off of me for the week of bitterness and anger and resentment and all those things and say, Lord, make me like you. But you can come prepared for that. Maybe you give, but you give bitterly. You give and you're like, I could have got that other thing, but I gave to this church plant. So you can still keep spaces in your heart locked up. And you can genuinely try and love God, but if you are not open to him and his purposes, it's going to be difficult and you'll miss things. So this word appears 135 times in our Old Testament, and every time it's read, it's used, something is changing. It involves something being stuck, becoming unstuck. Something locked, becoming unlocked. It means to open, to loosen, to set free, to make room. In the text, you see it used about opening your eyes. The Lord, he opened their eyes to something that they didn't see before. Opening prison doors. Opening gates, opening hearts. So before we move on, I want to talk about a really important principle that we use in our sermon team, and it's called the principle of first mention. How many people know about this principle of first mention? Okay, good. Here's a little study tool for you. When you're looking at something or a word in the Bible, you're trying to do some study on it, you can go like, well, where was that word first used? Where's the first place that we find that word being used? And maybe that can give us a little bit more insight to what it means in the other 134 places, or 131 places that we see that word. And the principle of first mention here, we find this word, patak, in Genesis chapter 3. And it's not used in a worshipful form. It's not used in this rosy form. It's actually used in a fairly negative form, is that the serpent, patak, he opened the eyes of Adam and Eve after they committed that original sin. He opened their eyes to these things. Your eyes will be open. You'll have all this knowledge. You'll have all of this stuff. And you get to see all of these things. He opened their eyes to evil. He opened their eyes to evil. From the very beginning, the deceiver has tried to pervert what we are supposed to be open to. That first mention is designed to draw us away from our Creator. But I have great news for you. You have this Father in heaven, and there's actually even songs talk about it. It says, my Redeemer lives. That God redeems the things of this world that were meant for evil and turns them for good. Your Father in heaven has a plan. He's a pursuer of his creation. He is pursuing you here, sitting here today. He's got some things for you right now that the Holy Spirit is going to put into your mind to be open to. And even though we ran and we became open to the things of this world, he never stopped pursuing us. And restoration is his plan, and you are his people. Amen? And Christmas, this Christmas story is where the change really begins. In Advent, God begins to reverse that principle of first mention of being open to evil. And through Jesus, God reopens what sin closed. And Advent is God saying, I am opening your eyes. This is my son. I am opening your hearts. This is my son. I am giving you hope. This is my son. I'm giving you a gift. And with that picture in mind, something closed became open. So let's go into this Christmas story and look at an idea of what this looks like to open our hearts and see what could possibly be for you and I during this season as we worship towards Advent, towards the arrival. I'm in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And here's what it says. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married with him and was expecting a child. That's backwards, by the way. You should be married first. But sorry. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Isn't it interesting that this sentence of Jesus being ushered into the world, the sentence is there again, yep, he was born and they wrapped him and put him in a feeding trough because there was no room for him. The Savior, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, welcome to the world, and we don't have room for you. Now, let's just put this in context. Nazareth is a podunk, off-beaten path town, maybe of 500 people. It's not going to have a hotel. Ruins our Charlie Brown story, doesn't it? It's like the innkeeper's like, sorry, we don't have any room at our hotel for you. Like, that's not true. The word that's used here is kataluma, and that's an extra room. That's a spare room. That's an upper room in a house. These houses were small. Like, can you imagine you and your closest 15 people living in like a 800 square foot house and your animals too? Like, this is small. This is small. So, and in this culture, hospitality is key. Right? Remember Lone Survivor? Like, that guy risked his entire village because hospitality in the Middle East matters. And so you have this culture of hospitality and shame colliding, because what's the shame here? Joseph's probably going to his house. This is probably a family's house, right? Can you imagine my daughter coming back to our house here in Post Falls and her husband, and they've made this long journey, and she was wobbling over there and she's pregnant and getting ready to deliver, and I'm like, yeah, you gotta do that in the shop. You can, here's some straw, and here, we'll cut this garbage can open sideways. Put them in there. You have this culture of honor and hospitality and shame colliding. And so since there was a census, there were, you know, it's not like there's, like, why is this important to provide room? Of all the ways God could describe his son entering the world, it wasn't that there wasn't good people. It wasn't that no one wanted God. There was no room. They weren't hostile, it doesn't appear. They weren't evil. They were simply full. Too full. Now put the baby in the feeding trough. So, by the way, a manger is not a cute little thing that you see. A manger is an actual feeding trough, like where they feed the animals out of. You're like... And so that's where the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords gets to be, is in this manger. So too full to make space, too full to receive. It's almost like you think about like a no vacancy sign at a hotel. You're exhausted, it's late at night, you're looking for a place to crash, and you see the sign that says no vacancy. Maybe this one wouldn't say no vacancy. Maybe it would say like crowded vacancy. Like not the best vacancy. It's going to be an uncomfortable vacancy. Maybe they're foreshadowing to the uncomfortableness that Jesus is going to go through to show who he is to the kingdom. Sometimes that sign isn't on a building. It's actually on our hearts when it comes to receiving the things of God. We're simply just not open. We're not patah. We're not open to taking a risk, to launching a church. In Lewiston, like the people look at Adam and Kathy and Randy and Jackie and the people in the church planting community, like, you're kind of crazy. Why would you want to leave this great church where you're, you know, the number two guy, and Kathy, you do all this great work for the church. Why do you want to do that and risk it and go down and launch into Lewiston? That doesn't, you know, that doesn't make great financial sense. But you know what? It doesn't matter. Because Adam's open to it. Randy's open to it. They're open to it. Our church is open to it. I'm open to it. Like, we see something great that could happen, and we're willing to believe God for his promises. Are we open to the Holy Spirit moving in every aspect of our lives? I want to talk about a gift real quick, and let's go to Matthew chapter 2, verse 10. And I want to talk about gifts and being open. When they saw a star, the Magi, they were overjoyed. They had that joy, 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 joy down in their heart. Down in their heart. And on coming to the house, they saw a child with their mother Mary, and they shakad. They bowed down. They fully submitted. And then they opened their treasures and presented them with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Thank you for not selling out our Savior. So there's been lots of really cool sermons about these gifts. And gold is for the royalty and the like awesomeness of Jesus. And the myrrh is for going to be for his death. And the frankincense, I don't remember. But there's been like a bunch of really great sermons about these gifts. I started to think about this. What would happen if those gifts were never opened? What if they were never... What happens when you have gifts that don't get opened? Put a pin in that. I want you to check this out in Isaiah. Isaiah 61. Now listen to this. This is one of the a really clear usage, a messianic use. Messianic means like a prophecy, like you're prophesying for the Messiah, the Savior to come. Of Patak. And here's what it says. Or it says, he has sent me to open the prison to those who are bound. Open the prison to those who are bound. Jesus restates this in Luke chapter 4. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. The good news is that the gift is here. Good news is that the Savior has arrived. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and to recover the recovery of sight for the blind, and to set the oppressed free, to open the door for people to come and be redeemed. Jesus came not just to forgive sins, but he came to open what has been shut in your life. He came to open what has been shut in my life. Now, I don't know who closed the doors. It could have been me. It could have been family. It could have been somebody slammed the door on me. It could have been the evil one. But there are doors in my life that have been closed that Jesus opened. And with Christmas, when we introduce Christmas, it's the Lord saying the Savior is here. I want to open everything in you that the evil one has closed. Are you willing to open this incredible gift? How many people are gift givers? Like, you love to give gifts. How many people have already bought a gift that you are like super stoked? You cannot wait until you give it to them. You're like, I just knew. This is going to be so cool. I can't. They're probably going to cry. This would be so cool. They're going to cry. They're going to be like, wow, you know them so well that you either crafted this gift or you made this gift, and you love giving gifts. Now, how would you feel if you presented this gift, say it was for me, and you presented this gift to me, and I was like, thanks. Okay, anyway, so now we're moving on. And I didn't even open it. I didn't even look at it. It was something that was never opened because I wasn't patak. I wasn't open to receiving this great gift that you have provided. See, Advent invites us to patak, to open this incredible gift of this Christ child. Open our hearts, open our schedules, open our homes, open our expectations. You know, most people don't miss Jesus because he's not doing his part, because Jesus is doing his part. The Holy Spirit is working in your friends and family who do not know him. He's knocking on the door of all of his creation. But sometimes you're just going to miss him because you're closed. And I'm closed because I'm too busy for the King of Kings. I'm closed because I fear that I might need to make changes. Like, I know the Jesus thing, and he wouldn't be cool with me sleeping with my girlfriend or my boyfriend. He wouldn't be cool with the way that I'm managing his resources that he has given me. He wouldn't be cool with how I treat people and how I think about them in my mind and how I talk about them with my mouth. And so I would have to make changes, so... I don't know if I want your gift. Yeah, maybe you just keep your gift right there. I just want part of your gifts. Just the gifts that I like. Just the pieces I like to accept of this gift. Maybe we're closed by woundedness. I was hurt in a church before. Me too. You're probably going to be hurt in this church, and I didn't mean it in advance. I'm a flawed, sinful dude who loves the Lord and is trying to be made in his image. And I say dumb things sometimes and I mess up. But I'm not God. God does not mess up. He binds the brokenhearted. He heals us. You could be closed because of pride. Sometimes people will say to me like, "You know, I was going to call you, but I didn't want to bother you." And you know what I think about as soon as you say that? Just so you know what I think about you. If you say, "I don't want to bother you, Josh," I think you're prideful. Why would you not want to invite God's people into your hardships? Why do you want to carry your burdens alone? I had an experience recently with a gentleman I've been working with, and... He told me, he said, "Josh, I wish I wouldn't have told you that I'm fine. Hey, how's it going? How you doing? Fine, good. Hey, fine. How you doing? And I called him up one time and I was like, "Hey, how are you doing? And the Lord put it on my heart. "How's it going with you and your wife?" "Oh, we're fine." Was not open to sharing the burdens with me. He was not fine. He's so not fine that he's not spending Christmas with his kids this year. He's so not fine, he's gone through an awful divorce. Now, I don't know that I could have fixed everything, because I can't really fix anything, the Lord could. But saying you're fine when you're not, are you open to the healing that God could have through his people, through his word, and through the Holy Spirit? See, Advent joy begins when something opens. People in the world are living right now, they're overscheduled. There's no margin for anything sacred. They're afraid to be known, really. Like, you can know my online. How many people put up, like, the worst picture of you possible online? You're like one where your hair's all mangled up and your eyebrow hair is going like this, coming out to haunt somebody. You got, you know, hair coming out of your ears, you know, your snot coming out of your nose. You're like, "Yeah, here I am." No, we want to be viewed a certain way. We're digitally distracted, always scrolling. I was listening to a podcast, speaking of being digitally distracted this week, I was listening to a podcast and the guy said, "You know, one of the things I love about my podcast," so he controls it. He goes, "You people actually like engage, like they're not just like, uh-huh, yeah, uh-huh." Like, He doesn't allow him to have phones in the podcast. Like, we're going to talk for a couple hours. You and I are going to get to know each other. We're not going to be distracted. Oh, a certain message came in. My son just got a 64 on his test. Yeah. To be known. We're relationally disconnected. We have friends, but we don't have fellowship. You guys know what fellowship is? Churchy word? Like, fellowship is like lifting each other's burdens, like connecting with each other, experiencing life together, being there at our family's funerals when those happen, being there at our kids' weddings, celebrating the grandkids. Like, we are, it's fellowship, it's doing life. It's not just like a casual acquaintance. And sometimes people aren't rejecting Jesus, they're just too full to notice him. It's like having a Christmas gift that you never open. And if you don't open it, how do you know what's in here? How do you know what God has for you if you're not open to his purposes and his plans for his life? How could you worship him very well if you're not open to him? You know, I happen to have a few fabulous gifts in here. A few fabulous gifts in here. Well, they're pieces of paper. But they're gifts. You know what? I'm going to give you one of these gifts. Pick out one of these gifts. Are you open? You open to what the Lord has for you? All right, let's see what the Lord has for you. Just pick out one of these pieces of paper. Would you want this gift? Absolutely. You want a gift. He is going to accept the gift of a mighty God. What would that mean in Doug's life if he had a mighty God in his life? Someone that cared, someone that saw him, someone that was overlooking him. What a great gift you've accepted. Have you always had a mighty God in your life that you accepted? You have not. But you have accepted this mighty God. Awesome. All right, let's see who else wants a gift. Jacob, you probably want a gift. I bet you I got one in here for you. I didn't even know this. I didn't know you were going to be here today. You get a special gift. Let's see what you get. An everlasting father. An everlasting father. Why would that matter? Why would you want an everlasting father? Someone that oversees your life, that cares for you, that's, you're like, oh, landmine. Whoa. Thanks, Dad, for pushing me off the landmine. I almost stepped on it. What a great gift that you could have. Let's see. I don't know you, but you get to have a gift from the Lord. Let's see what gift you get. There's only two in here left. Let's see if you get a good one. The Prince of Peace. Do you want peace in your life? Do you want to just know, like, it's that the Lord has you, that it's going to be okay? The Prince of Peace. How many people want the Prince of Peace in their life? How many people look for a little peace? Are you open to it? Because this is a gift that's available for you. Some of you have not opened this gift of the Prince of Peace. Some of you have not opened the gift of a mighty God. Some of you have not opened the gift of an everlasting Father. I got one more left. All right, I'll go over to my buddy Sean. Sean and I met in 1995. He stayed at my house last night. He and I were in a small group together forever. He is an awesome man of God. He loves the Lord. His kids are amazing. We grew up our kids together. Sean, maybe you could use this gift. I say this one for you. No, it's random draw. Let's see what you get. Sean, could you use the wonderful counselor? The wonderful counselor. What if you had a wonderful counselor in your life that you didn't even have to pay? That would come alongside you and share with you the things that you needed to know at the right time. See what happens when we're not open? Are you open to the very gifts of God this season? How would you worship if you were really confident in your wonderful counselor? How would you worship if you were really confident in your everlasting Father? How would you worship if you were really confident that you had the Prince of Peace overseeing your life? Or the mighty God? Patak. But until you patak, until you open it, it never becomes your experience. If you open and close this lift, you have not, this gift, you have not fully shakad, you have not fully surrendered. It'll be hard to todah well. Think about these gifts from Jesus, Isaiah 9. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor. Are you open to the Wonderful Counselor? He will be called Mighty God. He will be called Everlasting Father. He will be called Prince of Peace. Jesus wants to come into your life, but you have to be open to him. Some of you maybe have made that decision. If you have not made that decision and somebody invited you here, I would be up here after service and I'd love to talk to you about it. It's the best gift you're ever going to get in your entire life. It's an everlasting gift. It's not a club. It's not a building. It's not a religion. It's a lifeline into eternity. But some of these rooms, picture this in your head, a spiritual house cleaning. You have a spiritual home in your life. And when you think about making room for God, what is going on that would not make room for God? Maybe some of your rooms are really clean and presentable. I had this happen last week. We had some awesome folks over for dinner on Thursday, and I was giving them a little house tour, and I took them to bedroom, and you could see Carrie like... And wouldn't you know it, Lori was like, shh, wow, you didn't dust your baseboards. No, she wasn't that way. But some rooms are presentable, some rooms are not. So we tell Jesus, come into the living room. I got my Bible right here, but don't go down the hall. I'm not open for you to be in every part of my life. You don't get to go to the room where all my grief is stored spiritually. You don't get to go to the room, my shame room, where sin hangs out and shame is there. You don't get to go there from that party I shouldn't have been at a couple weeks ago, from how I treated that person at work. The room's where I'm scared and my fear hides. But I want you to know this. The room you least want him to see is the room that Jesus wants to be in. Because he wants to heal your heart. He doesn't come to admire the tidy room. He comes to restore the locked ones. He doesn't come to admire the cleanness of you. He comes to restore the broken parts of you. Hallelujah. He's knocking. I'm going to finish up quickly here. Revelation 3:20. Here I am. I stand at the door and I knock. Knock, 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 knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come and eat with that person and they with me. Do you have room for the mighty God? Do you have room for the Wonderful Counselor? You want to have a dinner with the Wonderful Counselor? Psalm 119, verse 18. Patach, open my eyes that I may see the wonderful things in your law, that I may understand the wonderful treasures that you have, that you've written down for us. They're not a secret. He's not hiding from you. That's the prayer I want some of you guys to receive. Don't hide from him. Invest. Investigate in the patak of your heart this week. We do it as a community. It's not just a personal walk also. It's also worshiping as a community. Do you know that healthy worshiping churches are open churches? This is a hospital for the sick, not a ball for the righteous. We're an inviting church. It's a church where Jesus is welcomed and spoken about boldly in music and in our text. Where Jesus is given room, the Holy Spirit is merahethen, he's hovering upon all of you. Some of you are like, I already got it. I can be gone right now, Josh. I already know the Lord told me. He told me what we had for this week. He told me before you even got up here. He told me in the worship set. He told me in the text. We don't grow in worshiping God just by singing louder, even though I wish we all would. I'd like us to, just, like to move the needle a little bit in our worship. I love it. But we also grow in worship by opening deeper. Final piece. Here's how to live this patach, this open lifestyle this week. Three simple things. Do a room-by-room prayer walk, a spiritual room-by-room prayer walk. Walk through your spiritual house and ask Jesus, which room in my heart have I kept closed? Am I keeping the porn room closed? You should get rid of that room. You should make that room impossible to get in on your phones, on your computers, on your television. And porn isn't just for the dudes, ladies. You have your porn. It's different. Maybe not. But you should burn that room. Which room have I kept closed? Where am I not ready to receive you? Second thing, create 30 minutes of margin. Cancel just one thing. Cancel something. TV show, whatever it is, and tell Jesus, this is me and you time. We're doing bonus 30 minutes, Lord, today. Let's see what you got for me. He may just be like letting you watch birds fly. And man, your birds are amazing, Lord. It may just be quiet. It may just be observing his creation. Maybe you open your heart in confession. Confession is opening the prison door from the inside. You're locked in your own sin. You can open it in the inside and meet Jesus. He's waiting for you. So as Christmas gets closer, the question isn't, am I ready for Christmas? The question is there room for Christ? Are you open for him?
Thanks for checking out this message.
A world that had no room for him, yet he still came. And he comes still and he knocks.
And
you don't have to open everything today. Pick one thing, one door, one moment, one part of your life. Because this is our Christmas response, is to be patak, to be open to the things of God. Join me in prayer. Jesus, open our eyes. Open our eyes so that we can see your heart and know what it looks like to have an open heart. Open our hearts. Open our homes. Open our schedules. Let us make room for you. It sounds so arrogant to say that I have to make room for the King of Kings. Lord, you own everything that we've ever seen, touched, or thought about. It's yours, Lord. Open us to serve you well with it. Lord, open in my life what's become close to you. Make it so that we make room for you again and again. So in Jesus' name, amen. Get the opportunity to come to the Lord in communion. We get to do this every week, an honor and a privilege as a church. To come to the King of Kings who opened a way for us to be with him in eternity. And it was painful, and it was costly, and it was successful. And so we get the opportunity to do that. If you are new with us, you can raise your hand, and we'll be more than happy to bring you a communion element. Raise your hand and we'll get you one. And right up here, thank you. This is for people who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It's not a snack. It's a serious moment for us as we remember exactly what Jesus Christ has done on the cross for us, where he opened the gates to eternity by what his sacrifice was. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it, and he said, this is my body, and it is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Lord, we remember you. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. Lord, we proclaim what you've done. Open our minds and hearts to you. Father God, we thank you again for this opportunity. Let us open our hearts and worship to you right now. And let it not just be a moment in a church service, but let it be a marker in our lives of how we walk forward, being open to your purposes, how we patak to the things that you would have for us. We love you. Amen.